This is Don't Panic, episode number 400, recorded April 14th, 2025. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this very special episode of Don't Panic, the technology podcast that occasionally talks technology. I'm Sean Jennings, joined by a pair of gentlemen who have well over 400 years of knowledge. It's Colby Ravendu and Dan Miller. Good evening, gentlemen.
So much podcast.
Incredible. Incredible. I can't believe we've reached such a momentous milestone.
Yeah. I feel like we should get some kind of medal or award.
Lifetime Achievement Award, right, from
service to humanity.
The Webbies or whatever.
That's the Nobel Prize for podcasting. Yeah, I'm for that. Mm-hmm. Pretty incredible 400 episodes. Guys, I might as well just get to it right at the top here. I created something special for tonight. Are you ready?
So no. Ready.
Okay. Well, Dan, you don't have much of a choice. Yeah. I went ahead and created the Don't Panic episode 400 host quiz. I put together a couple of questions focused on our other centennial episodes 100, 200, and 300. And we're going to see how well you remember our centennials. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Sure.
And these are all true. Oh, are you there, Colby? Yeah. Nope. He just couldn't do one more. He did 399. He said 400. I'm done. I can't do it.
I was on a video call today with someone who is in San Diego when the earthquake hit. And it was crazy because it was like the camera was going like this. They had the same reaction as Colby did. And then they grabbed their kid and dog and ran away. I was a little offended. No, I wasn't offended.
Is there an earthquake there, Colby, or something? You okay?
No, I unplugged my microphone by accident. I was adjusting it. I jostled the USB cable, and then Riverside freaked out. I was like, yeah, you're not being recorded anymore.
Okay. And we can't have that, right? That would be devastating. Guys, a first question for you, okay? On what dessert item did I put two candles in for some reason to celebrate episode 100? I did this right at the top of the episode. It was a dessert item. I put two candles. I lit them to celebrate episode 100. What was that dessert item?
Was it a dessert item that one would commonly put candles in? Or was it like...
I would say not incredibly obvious.
So it's not a cake.
I want to say cupcake, but my heart says flan.
Flan? To be honest with you, Dan, I don't think I've ever eaten flan in my entire life. You know what? I was thinking today of like... Not to get off topic here. I was thinking the other day of like... foods I've never eaten I don't think I've ever eaten an olive.
Ever?
I don't think I've ever eaten a
and you've never encountered a salad that had an olive in it?
I pick around the olives. I don't eat the olives.
Okay. So you've had opportunities and you've just declined.
I know
everyone.
What an olive is. I've been in the presence of olives, but I don't think I've ever eaten one. And I was thinking the other day too, I don't think I've ever peeled and eaten a banana in my life. I wouldn't know how. If you handed me a banana, I literally would not know how to peel it. I'm not kidding. This is not a bit. I need to get out more.
Okay. Well... New thing we're going to do next week. Sean, we're going to send Sean a bushel of bananas.
And a jar of olives. Delicious.
Now, you've never eaten a banana even that someone else peeled?
I think I've had like maybe in like a fruit plate or something. Like I've eaten like raw banana at some point. But I don't think I've ever like had a banana and peeled it and then eaten it out of the peel.
Now, if I did hand you a banana, what would you do? Like, what would your approach be?
I would probably start at, what do you call the little hard part at the top? The stalk? What do you...
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if it really has a word, the stalk or stem.
I would probably grab the banana in one hand and then try and peel it away using the stalk. Seems like the most solid part of the banana to grab.
Sure.
I don't think it's hard to do. I've just never like... I'm never in a situation where there's a banana sitting there because I really don't like banana that much. And I'm like, I'm going to peel open and eat that. doesn't occur to me.
Maybe next week.
I'm going to work on a list of like foods you'd be surprised I've just never gotten around to trying.
Right. This could be the first, the new taste test episode is like
random stuff. I don't know if I can mail you a banana, but olives certainly.
Absolutely. Did you know that in Seattle at the Amazon headquarters, they have an actual free banana stand?
But employees only or for the public?
For the public and that's for employees. Generous. And so... But this is the only free food that you get if you are an Amazon employee, full stop. So the employees make visit the banana stand frequently, but when they announced the return to office, there weren't enough bananas. And so they drained all the local Whole Foods in the downtown area of bananas. And there are these photos online of just Whole Foods, the banana section, just all plastic, no bananas, not a single banana left to be found.
Well, I'll do a very quick plug here. One of my favorite creators, John Boyce over at Secret Base, just published a video on the history of slipping on banana peels, where John actually scanned news reports going back to like the late 80s for reports of people slipping on banana peels. And it's actually a very interesting story why it used to happen a lot and doesn't happen anymore.
Is it related to the big banana turnover that happened in the mid 20th century where the bananas all changed?
No, actually. And what is interesting is actually dipped during World War II. We didn't have as many bananas. Trash cans. Believe it or not, public trash cans were not commonplace in the 20s and 30s. They just weren't.
They're still not.
And it's true. And some of the stories in that video are crazy. Anyway, you should watch that. Boston cream pie is the answer. I had, for some reason in the house, Boston cream pie. I put two candles in it to celebrate episode 100.
Nice.
So a great memory, clearly. All right. I'm going to give you four options here. Which of these is the actual title of episode 200? Is it the Bicentenna podcast? Is it 200 Fast, 200 Furious? Is it Do Not Pass Go, Do Collect 200 Episodes? Or It's Like 100, but twice?
I say either B or C.
I say B or D.
B or D.
Wait, which one was D?
D was It's Like 100, but twice.
I'm going to say B.
B, Do Not Pass Go, Do Collect 200 Episodes.
Which one was the Fast and Furious?
200 Fast, 200 Furious?
Yeah.
You're going to go with that one? Dan nailed it. It is Do Not Pass Go, Do Collect 200 Episodes. But honestly, in writing 200 Fast, 200 Furious, that one's much better. And I wish I had used that. That one made me laugh. That was very funny. How about this? In episode 300, which OXO product did Colby pick? Colby's picked many over the years. Which OXO product did Colby pick? Was it the OXO Good Grip Stainless Steel Bench Scraper and Chopper? Or was it the OXO Steel Angled Measuring Jigger? Or the OXO Good Grips Chef's Squeeze Bottle Set. Now, this is episode 300. Now, mind you, all these have been picked on the show.
It's right. Either the bottle set or the jig. The jig had to be early on, though, so I'm going to go bottle set.
I think it's the bottle set, just chronologically.
You guys are awesome. First of all, Dan actually picked the bench scraper and chopper on episode 269. Yeah, it's a great. I have one as well. It's wonderful. You picked the measuring jigger on episode 359, actually, more recently.
Wow.
And it was the squeeze bottle set on episode 300, which I bought and use all the time.
Nice. That's interesting. I feel like I've used those measuring jiggers for longer, and I have like 10 of them.
Well, like,
I just
may have been at the point in the show where we ran out of pick ideas and you just started going through the use every day.
Stuff you had. All right, I got one more for you. You guys are doing actually pretty well so far. Which of these did we talk about on a centennial episode? Was it when Google changed their name to Alphabet? Was it when Facebook changed their name to Meta? Or was it when Yahoo became Oath for about 5 minutes when Verizon bought them? Which of those happened on a centennial episode?
I feel like the Alphabet thing was pretty early. I want to say that was 2013 or 2014. So I don't think it could have gotten to a centennial episode then.
Yeah, I think it was
the Oath thing was also pretty early, wasn't it?
I don't remember when the Oath thing happened.
That was like a heyday thing. So I'm going to say the Meta thing.
Colby agrees.
Plus one.
Well, Facebook became Meta in November of 2021 in episode 325.
Damn.
So that's not correct. Yahoo became Oath on episode 162 in April of 2017. It was Google became Alphabet on episode 100 in August of 2015.
2015. That is later than I thought.
Yeah, we didn't start the first year of the show was, June of 2013. So there you go. So you guys kind of failed the centennial quiz, but that's okay. We've done a lot of these. Hard to remember.
Are you even here?
Very funny to watch us age aggressively over the many years.
I was just reflecting.
Some more so than others.
I would say appropriately.
Some more so than others.
Dignified, I think.
Aging with dignity. I was just reflecting today on how I feel like I forget a lot more stuff than I used to. Like, I feel like, you know, it used to be the case that like someone would say like, oh, you remember the time when, and it would be like, yeah, I kind of remember that. And now like a lot of the times it's like, don't remember that at all. It's been garbage collected from my brain. It's gone.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this the most memorable thing we've ever done. I'm going to, just for fun, throw up. Actually, I was going to put in Slack, but let's let everyone at home see it as well. Because I just happen to have these up earlier. Window, this one, share. There we go. Episode 100 right there.
Wow.
Look at those babies. Young studs. Let's see.
Wow. That's a cool background we have, too.
Yeah, this was, boy, what software was I using back in those days? I don't even remember, but I had one like this. I had one that was a Mac, that was a Mac desktop.
That's cool. Mm.
Back when all it was done manually and it wasn't all easy to use AI software like today. So, good times. They said it couldn't be done, and frankly, I agreed, but we did it anyway. Yeah, there were 200.
I forgot what that apartment looked like.
Well, that, believe it or not, that was going to be one of the quiz questions I thought would be too hard. Is I was going to be like, on episode 200, where did each of us live? And I figured that would be a difficult challenge.
Oh, I'm in the closet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I am in my condo rental in Ludlow, and Colby's in the Rotunda.
Right. The Rotunda is a great name for that apartment.
I just thought, man, a little too late. I'm thinking of that one.
It's okay. It's still, I walk by it all the time. It's very close to my current.
Literally, because it is so close to where you get back on the highway. Every time I drive by it and somebody's in the car, and I'm like, Colby lived there. Colby used to live there. Now he lives in a nice neighborhood. Excellent. So what's going on, guys? What's good? It's been a little while since we've been together. What's the latest in Dan and Colby Town? I have a couple of topics on my list, but I just ate up the whole first 15 minutes of the show. So enough of me. What's going on with you guys?
Yeah, lots of home improvement tasks. I wish I had taken some photos so I could share. But yeah, my dad was here. We are now completely done with all potential physical baby prep. I think we talked about putting up the wallpaper. I did get some more experience with some of the baby tech products, the baby video monitor and the baby alarm clock, white noise machine, nightlight thingy, which is pretty cool. One thing I didn't fully reckon with is how much these things want subscriptions for everything now. Like, I didn't even really consider it when I bought these things, but there's a lot of stuff that they supposedly do that they really only do if you pay for the subscription. And I suspect a lot of stuff that people use outside of babies is like that too. And I'm like in Linux land using some shit that doesn't do that or something.
Free and open source software.
Yeah. Which I thought about. I was like, oh, could you build a baby monitor? But it does have a lot of features where it like it notifies you of noise and movement, and so that's nice. And yeah, who knows? The hardest thing, so the baby gates were surprisingly difficult, and so was replacing the screen door. You've both seen my screen door, and you've both probably heard me complain about it, that yeah, the slightest breeze would have it slamming shut. So we got a new one that has two halves, and they lock in the middle. But in both the baby gates for the stairs and for that, this house presented essentially the same issue, which is that all of these things, they're like, oh, it's if you have moderate DIY skills, you can install it in an hour. This house has fancy molding everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah. And so like all of these products are designed for things that are perfectly square. And even the gates were like, oh, it's fine if you have molding. We come with a whatever, an inch and a half spacer that you can add. But an inch and a half was not enough. Because like, what do you call it? There's a special word for the thing at the bottom of the staircase, that the big one has like a big T-shaped top to it. And it's like, we needed way more than an inch and a half. So there was a lot of woodworking involved. And for the to build spacers that were sufficiently far out. And then like the angle that the hand rail comes down the stairs was so sharp that it still needed to be brought in more because the gate would hit the handle. That was a problem. And then, yeah, the screen door was just like, we basically had to make the door frame longer. So if you could stand in our wall and look at the door frame, we made it longer this way with just 2x4s so that we could mount the screen door on the thing. And then
you're going to get the Historical Society all up in your business here, Dan.
I know. Yeah. And once all of that was like, once we actually got to work, it's like, okay, now take everything apart. Paint, prime, and paint all of those things, and now put it all back up and do it all over again. So I took 2 days off and a weekend, and we spent 3 of those days working on just the screen door, and then my dad had to spend another extra couple days getting this stupid gates installed. So yeah, that's what I've been up to.
So you went with permanent fixed gates?
Well, permanent, yes.
Fastened,
yeah. Well, a wire cutter says that's the only safe way to do it.
I don't disagree. I have a temporary spring one that lives in my hallway permanently, so when the dog comes up, he doesn't eat the cat's food. And it's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, the thing I didn't really, because we had one of those two for when we were watching our neighbor's dog, and the permanent ones don't have the bar on the bottom, which especially on stairs, because on our stairs, it was basically impossible to not step on the bar on the way down. And so it's way better to not have the bar. Plus, like, you could imagine a kid's going to, like, run up to these things and push on them and try to, like, crane their neck over them. You don't want the one at the top of the stairs just sliding out and then everything comes tumbling down.
Yeah. No, mine is for a very stupid 10-pound dog. So,
yeah, that's
without thumbs. So, low concern.
Who's got no thumbs?
What a chump. Can't even climb up on the couch by himself. Needs help. How sad. Well, that's great, Dan. Well, that's good. You're picking up some handy skills.
Here's another funny thing that happened, and my dad doesn't listen to this show, so he can't be upset at this. I had to go to work one of the days he was here, and he texts me, and he's like, because one of the things we wanted to do was install on, you know, in my basement, so there's the giant door into the garage. We needed to there's a giant door into the garage, and then there's the unfinished part of the basement. And I was like, we should put a lock on the door to the unfinished part of the basement. Then we can throw all the chemicals and windshield wiper fluid and saw blades and everything goes in there and you lock the door. And so that was one of the tasks I gave to my dad. And he texted me while I was at work saying, hey, I have to go to the hardware store because the door frame is metal. I was like, that's insane that because that door to the unfinished part of the basement is so flimsy. You can like feel it bend as you close it. It's insane that the door frame would be metal. But I was like, this is a weird old house. Maybe there used to be a different kind of door there. And so I get back and the baby gates have been installed on the basement stairs, which was not where I intended them to be installed. It was way easier to install them there, and they're completely installed. And then I look at my dad, and my dad is installing a deadbolt onto the garage door, which was not the door I wanted installed in the basement. It was the other door. So it was like everything was done, and nothing was done correctly. So that was the funniest thing. And I was like, right, okay. You have to be specific with your instructions.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a fire door.
I think it was a fire door. I think there used to be in that room, like that's where the furnace was or something like that.
Usually you need them wherever like a garage where you store a car meets a house. And I wonder if at one point the garage was a different shape or the wall like ended there and that was the door that came in and out of the, I don't know. It's a good question.
So I got a bonus lock out of it, which was nice. But now I can open my garage door from both sides, no matter who entered when. So that's nice.
that is a logic puzzle
to figure out if you can use the garage door right now or not.
Well, and now when you get annoyed with the baby, you can just throw it down in the basement and you're fine. Just close the door and there's like no risk. So that's perfect.
Yeah.
Babies. I wouldn't know. No, that's excellent, Dan. You're chugging forward. Now, you have been, have you taken, like, parenting classes?
Huh. Yes.
That fascinates me. So what goes on at a parenting class?
We only have 30 minutes left. So, I mean, there are many different topics. So the topics that I remember us taking were, there was infant CPR, which was stupidly the first class we took, and probably should have been the last. There are childbirth classes, which is all about like the birthing process. There's like how to feed a baby classes. And then that's like covers breastfeeding and bottle feeding and pumping, and all the issues you can have. There's a car seat class we took, how to correctly use a car seat. We actually took several different childbirth classes with different techniques, some purely mental, some have like, oh, you like, you know, grab the spiky balls. Some are like, you like electrocute yourself with this thing, which is a thing. And then coming up, there's like some sort of massage class. There's like a pre-birth or post-birth massage class. There's some sort of acupressure class. And then we have like an in-person breastfeeding thing where they're going to like actually fit the equipment, the pump equipment, and make sure it all works. Yeah, those are all the ones that I can remember.
So I'm curious, first of all, you mentioning how to feed a baby got me thinking. You yes. can give a baby when they hit 6 months, you can give them watermelon. So that is like yeah. the day. I'm sure Lena will be very excited. Definitely record that one.
I learned it depends. Watermelon's pretty safe because it's not that hard. So you could probably do it a little bit sooner based on what I've read. Grapes are the big danger. Grapes are actually like the number one killer of children, which is kind of crazy.
I just did whatever Google AI told me. That's my parenting advice. What I'm curious about is the other, because there are other people in these classes. It's not just you. And mm-hmm. so when I'm in like a class, right, there's like the one guy who's asleep in the back mm-hmm. and there's like the people up front asking, like, is there a dynamic with the other? And do you have like the same couples in all your classes? Or no, are you getting to know no. them?
So there were two recurring series. Actually, I forgot about a whole series of classes. So there was a like childbirth series of classes that took three classes over 3 weeks, and the same people were in all those classes. There is this like 8-session long program. This is actually kind of a fun, interesting hack. So normally you go to see your doctor when you're pregnant once a month and then once every 2 weeks for about 10 minutes. And again, it's like, all right, you know, put the thing on, boom, baby heartbeat, got any questions? Oh, time's up, got to run to my next appointment, bye. And so our hospital came up with a different solution where they batch all of the parents-to-be into one group. They put all these people in a room. There's a teacher teaching a class, and then there's a nurse and a doctor pulling people out to do the individual things. But then the nurse and the doctor stick around for the whole 2 hours, so you can ask them questions in a group setting for as long as you want. And that class covers all sorts of stuff. Like most recently it was about like, oh, think about what it was like when you grew up and, you know, fill out this worksheet, and then you and your partner look at like the things and, oh, are there anything that's surprising? What's your philosophy on gift giving? What's your philosophy on what happens if your kid misbehaves at school?
And is that the point where you realize you and your wife disagree on everything and you start the divorce proceedings? Is
that? That could be one of those points, I think. Yeah. Luckily, we had already done some of that before all of this happens. We knew there was some amount of compatibility. Who's at these classes? There, it's like relatively... That one I've noticed relatively homogenous. It's mostly people kind of like us, approximately our age group. Everyone lives in Seattle, pretty much. The other ones have been more diverse. So there was a, maybe I'm forgetting one. What was the one we did with the baby? I forget. There was like a fake baby doll involved. I forget. But someone there, like the people sat next to us, they both worked in an Amazon warehouse as managers. Hmm. Oh, no. One of them was in an Amazon warehouse as a manager. The other one was a nursing student. And I was like, I cannot imagine having a kid. If those are your two jobs, it's like one of them is working nights, the other one's working days and studying nights. It was just sounded insane. So I would also say that there hasn't been as much camaraderie as I would necessarily expect. Uh-huh. And maybe this is a Seattle introvert super nerd thing. But there has been a little bit of camaraderie in the 8-week one. So like we're going in on Well, this is weird, but we're going in on syringes as a group buy for syringes because you can get them super cheap and you can use syringes to like store breast milk, the little bits you get early on, just in case like there's, you know, you can't feed the kid or there's an emergency or something. So there's a little bit of camaraderie there. But yeah, does that answer your question? I would say it's mostly people like us. And then you go to some of these other classes, like it's just an hour long car seat class. And then you'll get all sorts of people at those. But the ones that require more commitment are, you know, unsurprisingly, people who probably are more well off and have more free time as a result of being more well off and resemble people who tend to statistically to have those benefits.
Makes sense. No, hey, listen, it's good for me to learn this stuff because when Uncle Sean comes over to babysit, I need to know, like syringes example, if the baby gets too inflated, you just kind of poke it and let some air out. Right. Like these are the kind of things
that's what they mean when you burp a baby.
You're deflating the baby.
What do they call it when you go off-roading on the sand? You air down your baby. And
well, good. Well, it sounds like you're learning a lot. So that's.
Yes. And if you want to babysit Sean, all you need is a Tdap vaccine and you're good to go.
I did learn infant CPR. I am infant CPR certified. Yes.
Perfect. You're extremely well qualified then. We have to pay you at this point.
We do it. You can't afford me. Colby, I want to pivot over to you. What's going on with you, man? Anything on your mind? Anything going on worth sharing with the...
What's on my mind? Well, wait, did we talk about this on the show? The construction has begun on the house. It's happening.
Oh, no, we did not talk about it.
What?
It's happening.
Whose house?
My house. Our house in Rhode Island. The Rhode Island.
That house?
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah, there's like an excavator there and they've been pulling stumps out of the ground.
That's wild. Well, what happened?
I feel like we talked about some of this, right? Well, like we redesigned a smaller house because we couldn't afford to build the bigger house. We can't afford to build anything, but we couldn't give, you know, like it's America.
We really
couldn't
afford it.
Right. Yeah. Right. We couldn't convince anyone to give us money to build the bigger house. So we're doing a smaller house. But we talked to some builders and like we talked to the price was like, doable, and he was like, yeah, I can start in like 3 weeks. So like, okay,
that's number one qualification for a builder, they're available.
Yeah, no it's great. So you know, stuff is happening. There are fewer trees on the property than there were before. That's what's happened.
Nice. Well, that's very exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If you need any construction consultation, you give me a ring.
Definitely.
I'd be happy to send someone out to your job site, teach your contractor how to use the right screws for my friend Colby.
Can I forgot you to get ask him like screws. A deal where you walk by someone's house and they recently got their fence painted and it says like this fence was painted by Jerry's Fence Company? Can Colby get sponsored?
I am not. Here's what I can offer, and this is a real offer. I'm really putting this out there. If you let me and other folks from my company come to your house and let us shoot video of your house being constructed and your contractor saying how great our products is, I can outfit your whole house in free screws. All the screws you can eat, just all the product you can handle, and we'll make you Instagram famous. I can do that. I have the authority.
That's the dream. Now, I sometimes get confused, Sean. It's not just deck screws, right? Like they're all kinds of
screws. Much more, Colby. No, we do. Is your house framed in wood? Then you will. They absolutely can use our screws. We hold the roofs to the walls. We hold the walls to the other walls. We do it all, man.
That's great. That's
important shit.
That's
great. Be great. And of course, decking too. So, well, that is very exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks.
When did they start?
Like last week, 2 weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago they delivered the excavator and last week they started pulling out stumps.
Cool.
Yeah. And we had our first construction snafu where like it's been raining a lot. And so there's this spot where the driveway kind of is that, you know, it wasn't raining a lot in the fall, but it's raining a lot now. And so it's super wet. So like the dumpster truck almost got stuck. So that was fun.
But.
Well, I have a technology angle. So I was asked to solve an interesting tech problem at work. We are, our company, we're doing some construction on our buildings. We're adding on to them decent size, you know, adding more warehouse space and stuff. And someone says, Sean, we want to do a time lapse of the construction. But here's the thing. A, it's an outdoor camera. And B, it's going to be like 6 months. So how do you like shoot that? And at first they're like, yeah, we'll just pull like a GoPro up. And I'm like, I don't think it works that way. I don't think you, for like a 6 month outdoor shoot, I don't think you just throw a GoPro up. So I'm about to purchase a specialty construction time lapse camera that is designed to be put up and out for up to a year. Wow. Capturing construction. It does. What is it? It's one shot every 5 minutes, and at 24 frames a second, you do the math to put together your time lapse.
Wow! It seems like you could do it less than every 5 minutes.
I think the slowest it does is one every 10 minutes. I think that's like the slowest you can do it.
Wow. Does it have like a big battery or like what are the interesting technical details?
I mean, there's all different ones at different costs and different models, but they have a model. I'm not joking. It runs on two AA batteries and it shoots for 6 months on two AA batteries because it is doing so little shooting. I got one with a beefier battery that has a higher resolution and does things, but it does have a good size battery. But again, that battery is like, I'm sure it's no bigger than your phone's battery. It's just it's so low power that it doesn't need a lot of juice.
That's pretty cool. This is such a good...
I'm surprised it's not more common.
Now I kind of want one of these.
Well, you should absolutely get one.
It's an investment. The one I'm looking at is about $700. It's an investment.
Is the bank loaning you for the house, so you know.
Yeah, there might be a few pennies left over. You don't need a refrigerator. Just buy this
instead.
With
the money you're going to save on the screws... Put that in
yes,
the camera.
It's an investment. Colby needs to set up a live cam. I'd rather watch a live cam than a time lapse and then put it on a like YouTube public stream. And so at any time we can check in on the construction of Colby's house.
That's a pretty good idea.
And then you could like pay for exclusive access during peak construction times. I'll be like, oh, today's the bathtubs being delivered. Okay, well, it's going to be $1 for you to watch it, you know, upsell them. It's going to be lucrative.
I've got a lot to think about now.
Only backhoes.
Backhoes. That is the episode title. I'm going to write that down. That's a great one.
I mean, this would be useful even just for me. Like, you know, this construction project is happening relatively far away from us.
Well, you know, while I was figuring out how to shoot this thing, I didn't think to Google construction time lapse. So I was just thinking of ways to do it. They have cellular connected trail cameras now, like for wildlife, that have pretty good battery life. It's not necessarily a live feed, but it's continuously taking pictures and you could check in on it. Those were closer to like $200. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
But see, I bet Colby could rig up a Wi-Fi point-to-point thing from his parents' house this place.
There's a lot of trees. But like maybe.
And is that a problem for a point-to-point system?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get a big antenna, though.
There you go. Get a little Starlink up in there and stream from the woods. Yeah, I think that this could be a fun challenge, Colby. I'd be curious.
I feel like this is the kind of thing I should have mentioned to the contractor before we signed the papers. Like, how do you feel?
Hey, but do they allow you to go visit the site?
Yeah, totally.
He owns
it. Like, yeah, there's no...
It's my property.
I think this is totally above board.
Although, I do have to tell a true story, which is when I was having the kitchen installed in my basement, I put a security camera pointing at the work, and I would watch it from work, what he was doing. And I got a lot of crap from my mother who said, well, that's really rude. For you to train a camera on him. It's insulting. And I said, it's not that I don't trust him. I'm just curious and want to keep an eye on what he's doing. And she made me take the camera down. So I said, I'm paying for it. You know, joke's on him. What's he hiding? And by the way, I took the camera down. He did a bad job. So I was proven right.
There you go. Next time.
Joke's on me. This is my house. Well, that's very exciting. Congratulations. Keep us in the loop. Maybe definitely. You should do a blog, but we all know what happened to the baking bread blog. And, you know, we don't.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was a long time ago, too.
That's what? The kind of dumb stuff I remember.
Totally forgot about it. What was the baking bread
I subscribed
for?
To the RSS.
The RSS, yeah.
Is it still up?
Oh, definitely not. I definitely deleted that.
No, I think there were two posts on it.
I must have had an amazing domain for it. What was the domain?
I think it was just on my regular blog.
Oh. Yeah, it was colbyr.com/makingbread or whatever. I don't, I'd have to look and see what my RSS feed.
Wow, I forgot about my website.
Yeah, is there anything good on any? That's where the live stream's going to be, right?
Yeah, probably.
Colby hasn't blogged since 2022. I hope he's okay.
That's pretty good, actually.
That was when I was doing Recurse Center, all those blog posts.
Oh, no. Colby, there is a lot of the links on here that don't exist anymore.
Really?
Well, Tweed.Systems is dead, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, totally.
D&D is dead.
Actually, I mean, all of these things, is the D&D website gone?
No, the website still works. Pocket. And it, Spoonerism still works?
Yeah.
Spoonerism.org?
It's perennial. I keep my links up. This is
still,
I trained
still paying for the domain.
Yes.
That's
I have so many domains.
Tell me about
Spoonerisms.
I still
Colby's
own.
Right, I am forgetting about things.
Well, let's see if you remember this. For the record, I think I still own changemo.com.
Oh, classic. A classic.
Or maybe I let it go. That one was really expensive because it was a German domain. No, I do still own it. Damn it.
Yeah, domepanic.io is by far my most expensive. I think all of my other domains like don't cost as much as domepanic.io.
Yeah. No, don't go for the specialty ones. That's where they get you.
Well, yeah. Do you know the history of the .io domain, right? Or do you?
I'm sure we talked about it. That's a memory thing. We must have talked about that. And I don't remember.
It's a good thing we've been recording all this stuff.
Quite a history. What's my, I should look at what my podcasting Dropbox folder is up to in size.
Ooh, that would be a good trivia.
I'm sure.
Do you keep all the WAV files?
No, I keep an MP3 and an MP4 of every episode. I mean, just Don't Panic alone. No other shows. Just Don't Panic, 412 gigabytes.
That's not terrible.
But I'm probably over I got to be around a terabyte total.
I would really like to. I feel like we used to joke about this in a non-real way, but I would really like to train some sort of LLM on the Don't Panic transcripts. And I don't know why.
You can just take it off at that point.
Right.
We can just watch. I've never got the chance to watch this show.
Right. We could watch it live. I think it'd be great.
That would be maybe the worst thing I could imagine is us doing color commentary on AI us doing the episode. Well, I can't believe I just said that.
I don't know if I would say that.
No, I think what we got to do is we need AI versions of the host. So when one of us can't make it, the other two can do it with the AI version of the third. Right.
That's perfect.
And then we always have three, you know, keep us fully stocked.
Right. If Dan, you know, Dan's going to have a tumultuous year.
He's got Don't Panic paternity leave. I think it's, what was it, Colby? It's 5 days. You know, really get to know the child and then get your ass back to work. Which is funny because we record every week. So it's 7 days. I don't know why it's five.
That's the Marissa Meyer paternity policy.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of, has anyone else read the Meta book, Dunking on Meta by the lady? It's really good. Sean, you would love it.
I'm going to have to put it
on. I bought it and I took it on the plane whenever that was, like a month ago. And I read it just one plane ride. It was really excellent. What is that book called? Name of the book.
Well, I'm literally searching on Amazon, Facebook book. Careless People. Yeah, okay. It worked. I do have a small question for you guys. If we're going to talk about books briefly, have you guys, they were talking about over on the Tomorrow is Canceled podcast, a podcast I have to listen to because I produce it, but I have no interest in what they talk about. I'm just being honest. They were talking about having read the new hot fantasy books with the dragon riders. That's really popular on Book Talk.
So I only heard about this from listening to the Tomorrow's Game.
Did you really? You don't, Colby, you don't have to listen to it. It's really, no, I'm just kidding.
No, I do. I listen to the Don't Panic. I mean, the Coffee and Beer Extended podcast universe. I don't like 100% it, but I
usually just play Bellatro while they're recording.
Sean, you're playing Balatro?
I'm so bad at it. Don't get excited.
Ooh, it's very exciting.
That is the kind of game I actually like, because it's got kind of those fun card mechanics, but I don't like deck building games. I'm not good at them. And so what I like is it's kind of, you know, you start fresh every time and you kind of just dick around with it. Yes, I do enjoy Balatro quite a lot.
Are you a Balatro enjoyer, Colby?
I don't know what this is.
What? We might have to do a gaming stream and play Balatro.
Your next flight just got so much shorter. It's on the iPad. It's on the phone. It's on the Switch. It's on whatever. It's on everything.
It's on iPhone.
All right. I'm looking it up. Yeah. We'll download it. The card thing? When poker was solitaire.
Yes. There was another... I'm never going to find... You know, you can never find things when you want...
Wait,
Blueprints is a new game that's supposed to be like, if you like Balatro, you'll like Blueprints, which it's kind of a puzzler, kind of single player.
I read about this and it sounds extremely frustrating.
Oh, that's Balatro can be that for me. I'm not very good at it. But
is it the $9.99 one? Do I have to pay for this?
Balatro? Yeah, it's not.
Or if you have Apple Arcade.
Is the Apple Arcade one the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to try that one first. Forgot about Apple Arcade.
Be careful. Only start playing this game if you don't have anything else to do.
So now is not the time.
Now is not a good time.
Okay. Get out of here. All right. It's downloaded for later.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the name of that fantasy series.
Careless people.
Fourth Wing.
No, I have not heard of this.
This is the new, and it's one of those, I say this with all due respect, even though it doesn't sound that way. This sounds like all the books you guys, especially you, Dan, read, where it's like all that really annoying fantasy stuff, where it's like Violet Sorengal was supposed to enter the scribe quadrant. Instead, she goes to school to be a dragon rider, but she falls in love with Zayden Ryerson, who's part of the Riders Quadrant. It's like all that fantasy nonsense that drives me crazy.
Wait, Wikipedia said it's a high fantasy romance novel.
Yeah, it's like upscale YA.
I see. Upscale
YA. Young adult fiction.
No, this is actually making me want to listen to Tomorrow's Canceled more than I've ever wanted to, because I'm just so interested in what they see in this.
Actually, they do have a very good discussion on the book. I dunk on them a little bit, but they actually do a good job of breaking it down and why it's good. It was a funny episode. It's the latest one, but I was just curious.
No, I haven't read this.
I did have one thing I wanted to mention, guys. This is not an interesting story at all, but I just thought of it for the show. When I think 400 episodes of Don't Panic, on our enemies list, maybe top three could be number one enemy in the history of the show. That's up there. Xfinity, Comcast, that is up there. I'm talking about vegetable peeler.
Oh, yes.
It's we've all bled for the vegetable peeler. We've talked about it multiple times on the show.
Definitely.
Today, unfortunately, I was attacked by its brethren. I lost a chunk of my finger to the box grater.
Yeah.
Because it turns out if you're running a vegetable up and down the box grater and you run out of vegetable, the next best thing is human flesh.
Yeah, it works on fingers too.
And it took a chunk out of me and I was very upset, and that my mind immediately went to, this is our enemy. This is what we're fighting against.
Yeah. Yeah, I've like made many a pasta that has like a teeny bit of Colby in the mixed
and
in
not
with
the cheese,
the Parmesan cheese. Yeah, if it's just Laura eating,
yeah, you guys live together, you know. It's like, you know, it's all good. Yeah, bled a lot, but I think I'm gonna be okay. But it was very sharp. I forgot about that.
Yeah, don't get a mandolin.
Well, and it was. Again, this is my, like, sometimes my mind just, like, blanks out, and I just go into, like, auto mode. I was supposed to get, I like the matchstick carrots, like those pre-tiny sliced carrots you can get at the store for, like, salads. They're great. I was supposed to buy those. And instead, I bought regular carrots, not thinking. And then I got home, and I'm like, I'm going to have to slice them up myself, and I paid the price, so.
The mandolin does have, like, a matchstick thing. Where you get like the perfect matchsticks, which is great, but you know, high risk, danger. High reward.
Danger. That's one of those like watching cooking TV shows when they bring out the mandolin. Yeah. I'm like so scared, and they don't use the guard. Yeah. And I'm like very scared to watch.
Honestly, like, I'm not sure if the guard makes it safer.
I mean, it's an underrated health hazard, undoubtedly.
Yeah, now I'm hungry.
Hungry for human flesh. Sean, that sounds really good. Yeah, I made a shrimp and rice for dinner with a salad.
I had follow-up. We were talking about broken links. And one thing I wanted to say was Tweed.systems is not completely dead. Yeah. Occasionally, and as far as I can tell, inexplicably, it works randomly. So, like, I'm still, like, subscribed to all my Tweed.systems RSS feeds. And, like, once in a while, I'll get a, like, 3-month dump of one Twitter feed that I'm subscribed to.
Oh, they're just messing with you.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I don't know if it's just that, like, there's some, like, super low threshold of tweets you're allowed to pull or something, but, like, once in a while I just get like every tweet that Dan tweeted for the last 6 months, like, all at the same time.
What a treat.
I'm curious what those are, because I haven't tweeted in like 2 years.
I was just using you as an example, but then, you know, someone who did tweet, even if they didn't, like, sometimes it's like, I'm pretty sure this has happened with yours, Dan. And it was like, you know, whatever your last 10 tweets were, but 2 years ago.
I was about to say, yeah, I think it was something like this COVID thing. It's basically just the flu. I'm not worried about it.
Seems fine.
Yeah, I was thinking, do you still use that, talking about old picks, that service that would take a podcast feed and serve it to you from episode 0, one at a time?
I really only use that for Roderick on the Line, and I caught up. So I haven't needed to do it since then.
I've got to see if I can track, like, that down, because I have a podcast I want to do that with, and I don't remember the name.
It was like Rewind something.
I think you're right. I'm going to have to go into the sheet and find it.
That's...
Because I would like to do that. Not that I have time in my life for more podcasts. I definitely don't.
I've been having a podcast revival.
Oh, it's coming back. What's new? Anything new on the list?
Sean, it's rewind.website.
Oh, of course. I couldn't have guessed that.
Honestly, nothing's new on the list. Like, I'm still listening to all the same stupid shit I was listening to before. But the other day, I found myself thinking, like, you know, I, like, want to subscribe to some more podcasts, which hasn't happened in 3 years. So that's where I'm at. Send me your podcast.
Well, I don't know if you'd enjoy what I listen to.
I don't know.
I just started listening to one not too long ago. The intersection of sports and media, all about things like, you know, deals leagues make with networks and network personalities who talk about sports. And
it does sound boring.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, we're coming up at the end of the episode here. Anything else on your mind? It's the clock tick, 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 ticks away.
No, well, I'm just frantically looking for a podcast to send to Colby.
Yeah.
I think it has to be Revolutions, which I recommended on the show, I believe.
Yeah. I don't think I added that one.
While you are looking for podcasts for Colby, I do have to do some plugs here. Wouldn't be a show without it. Got to talk about, we talked about Tomorrow Is Canceled at tomorrowiscanceled.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's Matt and a couple of other great conversationalists, having mostly around video games and kind of anime and nerdy stuff like that, but it bounces around. It's a pretty interesting show. You should check that out. New episodes occasionally. And, of course, Up for Debate over at upfordebate.tv. March Madness, the month that never ends, continues. And we are playing Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, the early 90s computer game. We're playing it through live at our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/upfordebatetv. You can join us there on Thursdays and watch live, or you can get the episodes after the fact at upfordebate.tv. And we got a lot of great stuff coming up past that. We're going to be doing our summer movies coming up. I think I have an idea of what we're going to do, but you're going to have to wait and find out when summer comes around. It should be a lot of fun. And of course, the show is Don't Panic at don'tpanic.io. That website has all 400 episodes, if you can believe it, audio and video. We've done video since day one. You can go see much younger us if that interests you over on our YouTube page. And of course, you can get the audio version wherever you subscribe to podcasts. We should be there. You can check it out. I did get dinged, by the way, guys, on Spotify. First platform to ever scan us for copywritten content. And they flagged every single episode for the theme song, which is Creative Commons. But I tracked down the original guy who created it. Because we don't technically with Creative Commons, we're supposed to say every episode, like, give credit. And and so I actually looked, and for the one-time price of $30, you can license the song in perpetuity. And I figured after 400 episodes, that guy's earned his $30. So we now have officially licensed the theme song to use for commercial purposes. If we ever make money at this, we're legally covered. Yeah.
What's the deal if you are doing the opposite of making money?
Well, I was going to say, we just have to commentary on it or do parody on it every episode, and it's basically free. So we just have to say it's bad or good every week, and we'll be fine. So do check that out. But I think that's going to do it for us. Episode 400 in the books. We're going to be back next time with more great Don't Panic content. But until then, on behalf of Colby and Dan, I'm Sean. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you next time for another awesome episode of Don't Panic.
This has been a Coffee and Beer production, executive produced by Dan Miller, Colby Rabideau, and Sean Jennings. To learn more, visit coffeeandbeer.tv.